I mean, I remember one time that my neighbor, he has been several years, 20, 30 years ago at least, I was up there building fence, and my neighbor, he come over, and he said, "Thurman," he said, what good things is going on?" I said, "Oh," I said, "there's everything good. It's just wonderful." He said, "Wow." He said, "You sure are excited." I said, "Well, praise God." I said, "Jesus is doing some wonderful things." Now, this member goes to a church in this area, but it's called a Christian church, but they don't believe in the power of God. And so, you know, but he said, "Like what?" I said, "Well, Jesus is doing lots of wonderful things." I said, "I've been praying for people. I've been seeing him heal people." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "But I mean, I prayed for a certain man that was your neighbor." And I said, "He had prostate cancer and God healed him." "Oh," he said, "I heard about that." But he said, "I don't believe it. I think it was a wrong diagnosis. Whenever they diagnosed him the first time, you just have to pray for him." He went back and they checked him and it wasn't there. They just done a wrong diagnosis. It wasn't your prayer that healed him. Now, here's a man that his neighbor lives right down the street that he's known for 50 years. And he got healed of prostate cancer when I prayed for him in a Baptist church right over here in Justin, Texas on Sunday night. He was healed by Monday morning when he goes back into the doctor. Friday, he got a terrible diagnosis, prostate cancer. He came to the church. He was a deacon in the Baptist church. And he asked us Sunday evening, he said, "Now, I'm going in for surgery in the morning, but I want all of us to pray and anoint me with oil tonight before in the morning because I believe God will heal me." And we prayed for him. And I'm telling you, of course, I remember the night that I prayed. In fact, I remember now how it happened. We were getting ready to dismiss. The pastor had already closed with the closing word of prayer, and I stepped out and said, "Wait a minute!" And everybody stopped. I said, "Brother Fred said he wanted us to pray for him tonight." Hey, the pastor said, "Oh my gosh, Thurman, thank you for reminding me. I forgot that." Now, you don't forget something like that unless you don't believe in healing. And so I ain't going to let this get by. So I come over. I said, "Fred, come over here." So he stepped out of the aisle right here. I went over and put my hands on him. I prayed for him. I did all kinds of things, remitted his sins, praised the Lord for him, rebuked the devil, everything I knew how to do, and praise God, quoted two or three scriptures, and praise God for healing Brother Fred. I said, "Now then, the rest of you can pray however you want to pray." And I remember something I said, "Oh God, now Lord, as he goes to the doctor tomorrow, will you help the doctor to get all of his cancer?" I mean, I hear that so much in a Baptist church. I think, you know, we don't believe this book. We do not believe this book. So anyway, when he goes to the doctor the next morning and the doctor checks him, his cancer is gone. I mean, it's completely gone. His wife tells everybody in Justin about this. I mean, she is on fire. And like I say, if you want something told that's good, give it to a woman. She'll tell the world, praise God. We need more of us that'll tell good things. Women don't mind telling, especially if it's good stuff. They want to pass it around. And need to be a few more of us guys that's willing to pass good stories around about Jesus, right? And then when I told my other neighbor about that, he said, "Thurman, you're crazy. God don't do those kind of things anymore. It was just a wrong diagnosis in the first place." Isn't that something? That when you see God do something so significant, and then nobody believes it. Even in the church. Yeah, this is all in the church, Tom. This ain't out in the world. You know, I remember the other day I run into a man here in town. He said, "Thurman, I got to tell you something." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I was out here where they're drilling one of these rigs. And he said, I got talking to them boys about Jesus. And he said, they pretty well on that rig, all of them believed in Jesus." He said, "I was kind of amazed." And so he said, "Praise God, I'm glad you guys believe in Jesus." He said, "Is there anything that why y'all are so on fire for Jesus?" One of the guys said, "Yeah, me." He said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Now, you probably don't know this guy, but," he said, "I went over to a little church over here a while back called the Living Savior Church, and a guy by the name of Thurman Scrivener was over there. And he said, I had cancer. He said, I went over there, I heard he had a healing school. He said, I went over there to the healing school, and I heard that my sin was what's causing my problem. So he said, I repented of all my sins. That man prayed for me, and he said, I got completely well. And he said, after I got well, he said, I've shared this with all my men here. And he said, every one of these men have stopped sinning, and we're all walking for Jesus now." I thought, now, isn't that something? God's a good God.
Yes,
Now, the only thing wrong is, just like this man, James Dietzman, whenever people say this radical Thurman Scrivener, he said, all I got to say is we need 1,000 more radicals in Justin. Is that true?
Amen.
We need at least 1,000 more radicals for the kingdom of God out there. Wherever, whether you come from Justin or anywhere else, wherever you come from, you need to be a radical for Jesus. Is that right? Yeah. You need to be a radical. And if God has done some kind of a miraculous thing for you, you ought to tell everybody about it, because that's what He says in His Word. I mean, if God's done a miracle for you or a healing or whatever, you just need to tell people, you know, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you what Jesus did for my wife, or my wife, so let me tell you what Jesus did for my husband or whatever. You need to tell people about Jesus, and then you need to not be ashamed of Him. Look what He says here, that the life was manifest and we have seen Him. And we've sat down with Him, we've ate with Him, we've tasted Him, you know, we've seen the glory of God. To think that we had the privilege as men to walk with God on this earth. You talk about a privilege, that's a privilege. Now then, let's go to the next verse, 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now then, I have had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It happened when I was 11 years old. I didn't see Him. I didn't feel Him. I didn't do any of those things, but I knew that I got saved when I was 11. I didn't understand what I had, but I knew I was born again. I didn't understand very much about it, but at least I had an encounter with God. Now, if you ever have a real encounter with God, you will know it. You know, if you cannot go back to the time in your life when you know that you and Jesus had a meeting, you may not be saved. You may not know who He is. You may have never encountered Him. Because if there wasn't a change in your life, you probably don't know God. So, do you want to die and go to hell?
No,
me neither. And I don't want you to die and go there either. That's why I teach these messages that I teach you. I want you to know that you are saved and that you know that you're going to heaven when your life is over on this earth. Now it says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Let's see what he says in 5 and 6. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. He is light. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie. Oh, I'm a born again Christian, but I hate Kim. Now, what if that's true about me? Of course, it ain't true. I'm just using her as an example. We all know that. But if that, do you know people in church that say, I'm a Christian, and they say, I hate her. I can't stand that woman. You know, they probably won't walk up to her face and tell her that, but they may say, you know, I can't stand that woman, or I can't stand that man. Now then, according to God's Word, what does it have to say about them? They're lying. They don't know God. In other words, if you don't love everybody, you don't know the Lord, do you, Terry? If you don't love. If you don't love, you don't know the Lord. Just look at this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, Jesus, oh, I have fellowship with Him. I go to church every Sunday, and I sing, and I worship, and I praise the Lord. I just love Jesus with all my heart. And then we go to dinner somewhere, and somebody says, you see that man over there? I can't stand that guy. I hate that guy. But that happens, doesn't it, Brother David? We see people that do that. If we say we have fellowship with Him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Let's go on here and see what he's saying here. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. In other words, if you walk in love, this is what we call walking in grace. You're walking on that little bitty, tiny, narrow path above the law. This is where you have total freedom in Christ. Up here, you're not under any rules except one. What is that rule?
Love.
That's exactly right, Kim. You're under the law of love. When you walk in love, you're walking down that little narrow path. Your feet will be guided by the Word of God. It'll be a lamp under your path. You'll be able to see that little narrow path, and you'll stay straight on it, and you won't never step off of it to the right or to the left, and you won't never fall back under the law. You won't never fall from grace, and you won't never have to worry about the vipers of hell getting you, because they're all down there under the law. They're not up here under grace. When you walk up there, that's why I say walking in grace. If you can walk there, there is no sickness, no problems. I mean, there's nothing but joy and life up there. And up there, when you're up there, how often do you get your prayers answered?
All the time.
That's right. We're going to see that here in just a minute. He tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, when you walk up there, continuously cleanses you from sin. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to confess sin. There ain't no sin up there. If we say that we have no sin, now that looks like a contradiction right there. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Somebody said, well, no, wait a minute. You just said if we're walking, there is no sin up there. That's right. Up there is no sin. But that looks like, that says if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. First time I taught this over in Dallas years ago, I had somebody that went to Hillcrest, and I don't know who knows who the pastor was back in those years, several years ago. They went over there and told the pastor what I said about this scripture, and the guy immediately said, well, Thurman's a liar. He don't know what he's talking about. Okay, let's go on. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, obviously, there must be a problem with sin in us, right? Obviously. I'm not saying that we have no sin, but let's look and see what the Scripture says, verse 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, now this is that Scripture that Dave talked about a while ago. This is the most wonderful thing of grace that there ever was.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Walk in Love as Jesus Walked, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.